Honourable Members, thank you very much for affording us this opportunity. I would first like to introduce the team from the Department of Communications. I'm Rosie Sakes, DG Department of Communications, Tampa.
So our process So the writing on the bill is in red. Tries to speak to and to slot in the issue specifically in the draft bill itself. And the chairperson, so it is important that honourable members also have to look at the bill itself to see where the issue is being slotted and to see the logic of things. And with that chairperson, I will ask then the Rado to actually read then the presentation, and then we will be guided then by you.
Thank you, Chairperson. I will start by actually reading the list and cross-reference it to the presentation. So that we follow the sequence on the A list. So in terms of clause one on the A list, I will refer the committee to slide six, which deals with the amendment of a definition of a licensee, so that we take out the services in respect of radio frequency spectrum licenses. And this must be amended to reflect that a license for services is not the same as an authorization to use spectrum. I refer members to close six, to slide six of the presentation and close one of the aids.
Forget the A and B, but that's the list we're talking about. sequence of the slides. So I agree with you when you say we can just concentrate on the presentation so that we avoid the confusion.
Okay.
Thank you, Chair. If I may proceed, we are now at slide 3, which is amendment of section 1, which relates to a new definition of triple BEE, which is required for the ICASA Act so that a new clause is inserted in the amendment bill. The section will then be inserted as follows. By insertion after the definition of Broadcasting Act of the following definition: broad-based tech economic empowerment has the meaning assigned to it in the Broad-based Black Economic Empowerment Act of 2003. And then the next slide will be still continues on the amendment of section 1. So this one is section 1, paragraph C. In this one, the various comments requested that they requested the department to consider including upload and download speeds. And the department did not agree with this, and because including specific means that the law had to change every time that the definition is changed or is reconsidered. So what the department says here at the bottom of the slide, you can see that the PCC would, the Honorable Committee will look at this and consider what it prefers with regards to the speed. Whether it includes the speed, agrees with the comments that were made, or it agrees with the department. Then you move again to the definition of ICT charter, which should be amended to improve the existing definition. It reads, ICT charter means the ICT sector charter, a sector code on broad-based black economic empowerment issued in terms of the Broad-based Black Economic Empowerment Act of 2003. Then we move along again to slide 6, which is in relation to section 1, paragraph K, which amends the definition of licensee to reflect that a license for services is not the same as an authorization to use spectrum. And it reads as follows: licensee means a person issued with a license to provide services in terms of Chapter 3 or to use radio frequency spectrum in terms of Chapter 5 of this Act. And then we move on to section 1, paragraph A, which relates to the fact that radio frequency spectrum license needs to be amended to also avoid the confusion that was referred into the previous slide. It says radio frequency spectrum license means a license authorizing the holder to use the radio frequency spectrum in terms of Chapter 5 of this Act. And then we move along to Section 3, which is slide 8. It's an amendment of Section 3.1e of the Act. It relates to the Minister's right to make policy and to issue policy directions. And this will include, as I knew, the general power to make policy on spectrum fees in Section 3.1 instead of Section 3.2 for the sake of consistency. Paragraph E will read as follows: guidelines for the determination by the authority of license fees and spectrum fees associated with the award of licenses contemplated in Chapter 3 and Chapter 5, including incentives that may is where most of the some of the respondents felt that Section 32D and Section 331E be collapsed and be combined, as it was not necessary or it was found to be too broad. And the department has considered the section to simplify and state that the minister can make policy direction on any matter that his or her power relates to under the Act. This also poses a question to the Honourable Committee, which is whether the Honourable Committee would prefer to remove this in light of the opposition to it by the respondents. Section 3 continues again, and now this is Section 3, subsection 5, which the minister should consult for not less than 30 calendar days to be replaced by days, which is defined as working days in the Principal Act. So sub paragraph 2 would then read, inviting interested persons to submit written submissions in relation to the policy or policy direction in the manner specified in such notice in not less than 30 days from the date of the notice. This then means that the word calendar is removed because date is being defined in the Principal Act as working. And we move to Section 4, amendment of Section 41D of the Act. This intends to retain the change to control in relation to spectrum to use as it was originally in the Act. Section 4 continues, and this is an amendment to Section 4, subsection 5. Of the Act. It relates to regulations which were to be provided by the Minister within 30 calendar days. We remove calendar days as defined in the Principal Act. And again, there we say the authority must not less than 30, and we omit calendar. We say 30 days prior to making regulations, inform the Minister in writing of his intention and provide the minister with a copy of the proposed regulation. We move to Section 8. Amendment of Section 8, subsection 3 and 4. In Section 8, subsection 3, we are retaining the word impose to prescribe and also referring to Chapter 10 as it was referred to previously, and specifically providing that ICASA can impose terms in the license regarding universal phases or access. And subsection 3 will read as follows: the authority may prescribe additional terms and conditions that may be applied to any individual license or class license subject to the provisions of Chapter 10. And then subsection 4 of Section 8 reads, the authority may by regulation make provision for the designation of licensees to whom universal status and universal access obligations are to be applicable and may prescribe additional terms and conditions in respect of the relevant universal status and universal access obligations on such designated licensees. And at Section 8, subsection 2, there has been an addition of paragraph 4, which will enable ICASA to include a provision in license terms to address the persons with disabilities, and the proposed paragraph will read access for persons with disabilities. I will request members to skip this slide because it's a repetition of Section 5 of the Act. This one relates to a situation where ICASA should take into account ministerial policy when determining license conditions relating to universal services and access, and should consult with USASA. And subsection 5 will read as follows: the authority in exercising its powers and performing its functions in terms of this section, as it relates to universal service and universal access, must exercise such powers and perform such functions after consultation with the agency, and must consider determinations made by the minister in terms of section 82. Then we move now to section 9. This is the reasoning that was referred to earlier. In this one, we also addressing the issue of retaining the word imposed or prescribed, and deal with provisions on universal service in license 10. Paragraph B of the section will read, may impose, and you omit such there, so it will then say, may impose additional terms and conditions as may be prescribed in terms of section 83, and make a designation contemplated in section 84. We are now on slide 18, which is section 34, which relates to management of spectrum and the national frequency plan. During the presentations, the issue was raised as to whether this section should be aligned with the policy directions under section 31E. Section 34.7, in preparing the national radio frequency plan as contemplated in subsection 4, it says that the authority must consult with the minister to take into account government's current and planned uses of radio frequency spectrum, including but not limited to civil aviation, aeronautical services and scientific research, coordinate a plan for migration of existing users as applicable to make available radio frequency spectrum to satisfy the requirements of subsection 2 and the object of this Act and of the related legislation. And ensure alignment of the national radio frequency plan with any radio frequency spectrum policy made under section 31. This is also referred to the Honorable Committee to consider whether it agrees with this section. Slide 19 addresses transfers ownership and control of a license in terms of section 13 of the Act, and the intention is to reinsert section 13.3, section 13 subsections 3, 4 and 5 with an amendment to section 13.3 paragraph A to align it with the BBBEE and insert a new section 13.6 to ensure public consultation similar to public consultation in terms of section 10.2 and 11.3. So section 13.3a will read as follows: promote ownership and control of electronic communication services by historically disadvantaged groups and to promote broad-based black economic empowerment. Or, now this is the new subsection 6. This provision, the provisions of section 9.2 to 6 apply with necessary changes to that section. Okay, moving along to chapter 7 and 8 in relation to interconnection at section 37, 38 and 39, section 44 and 45 in connection and facilities leasing agreement. The original text was restored. Okay, now we are at slide 21. In relation to interconnection and facilities leasing, the issue that was debated with different views from different respondents relates to the use of the word economic feasibility as opposed to using the financial feasibility which is currently in the Act. For instance, Telkom was of the view that economic feasibility should enable them to recover all their costs. Smile, SACF and Newtel, they varied but were similar. And the department's response is that this issue should all be addressed by the regulatory authority, not in the law. Economic is viewed as a more complex, therefore appropriate standard, but would then require the regulator to produce the guidelines on what economic means, and the department also is of the understanding that financial relates to accounting issues. Economic is seen as taking more than purely accounting issues into consideration, but taking all the other issues that might be inclusive in the economic feasibility explanation. And the regulator has some insight into what might apply here from the previous studies on the issue of economic vis-a-vis financial feasibility. And this is where we are. The department is also saying that the Honorable Committee needs to then decide on which of the wording would be appropriate and whether it agrees with the respondents or the department or any of the respondents in relation to what economic feasibility means and what financial feasibility means. Moving on to section 43, section 8. The time period of 10 days in section 43, 8A, 8 capital A, B and C, and 5 days in D are each increased to 20 days. Section 43, subsection 8 capital A is amended to remove reference to financial and technical feasibility, leaving it to providers to show the request is not feasible while acknowledging the importance of granting the request. The balance of the section is similarly adjusted. Therefore, subsection 8, capital A, paragraph A will read as follows. Requests for leasing of essential facilities are deemed to promote efficient use of electronic communication networks and services. Then it continues on slide 23. B will then read all electronic communications network services licensees receiving requests contemplated in paragraph A are required to agree on non-discriminatory terms and conditions of a facilities leasing agreement for those essential facilities within 20 days of receiving the request. Paragraph C reads, if the electronic communications network licensee can provide that the request is not technically or economically feasible, within the 20-day period, the electronic communications network services licensee may refuse the request. Paragraph D, if no agreement regarding the non-discriminatory terms and conditions contemplated in B can be reached, the authority must impose the terms and conditions consistent with this chapter within 20 days of receiving notification of failure to reach an agreement. Continuing to section 43 and subsection 11, still on facilities leasing. exclusivity provisions are permitted only for a period of 1 year and not 3 years from the date of commencement of the Act. Subsection 11 reads, any exclusivity provision contained in any agreement or other arrangement that is prohibited under Section 10 is invalid from a date 1 year after the commencement of the Electronic Communications Amendment Act 2030. In section 44 at slide 25, the amendments are removed and cross-referencing is corrected so that we can clarify when an exemption is possible. It then reads, where a licensee is exempt from the obligation to lease electronic communications facilities in terms of Section 5, and such exempted licensee enters into an electronic communications facilities leasing agreement with another exempted licensee, or a person providing services pursuant to a license exemption, Section 43, Subsection 7, and Section 45, Subsection 2, and Subsection 7, do not apply to any such electronic communications facilities leasing agreement. We are now at slide 26, an amendment of section 60. Although not initially addressed by the department as being considered to be a matter of policy, the amendment is accepted and proposed as follows. The authority must prescribe regulations regarding the extent to which subscription broadcast services must carry and pay for, subject to commercially negotiable terms, the television programs provided by a public broadcast service licensee. In section 62, which relates to broadcasting signal distribution, the amendment is proposed to delete the current amendments in section 62, subsection 3, paragraph A and paragraph B, regarding the common carrier's technological capacity to provide signal distribution and tariff approval. And the amendment reads as follows. A common carrier must, subject to its technological capacity to do so and to the provisions of paragraph B, provide broadcasting signal distribution to broadcasting licensees upon their request and in accordance with the National Radio Frequency Plan contemplated in Section 4 on an equitable, reasonable, non-preferential and non-discriminatory basis. Paragraph B, in determining its tariffs, duly take into account subparagraph 1, the different categories of phases licenses referred to in section 49, 50, and 51. Roman figure 2, the nature and technical parameters of the phases provided each broadcasting licensee with a view to ensuring that the different tariffs are appropriate to and commensurate with the various broadcasting services to which they relate. Then paragraph C will then read, carry public broadcasting services, including educational, commercial, and community services, and shall be deemed an electronic communications network service licensee that provides signal distribution for public broadcasting services. In relation to section 67 on competition matters, there is an omission, the proposed omission of determining and substituting with defining This means that you are reverting to the previous text. Section 73 in relation to the E-rate. Amendments are proposed to extend the E-rate to public health establishments and replace retail rate with wholesale rate in subsection 73. Subsection 73.3. The section reads as follows. Internet services provided to all public health establishments as defined in the National Health Act of 2003, public and independent schools as defined in the South African Schools Act of 1996, all public and private colleges, and all public and private further education and training established, declared or registered in terms of the Further Education and Training Colleges Act, and all public and private higher education institutions defined in the Higher Education Act must be provided at a minimum discounted rate of 50% off the total charge levied by the electronic communication service licensee providing the internet services to such institutions. Section 73 continues on slide 31. The discount, if applicable, to the total charge levied by the electronic communication service licensee, which includes but is not limited to the following: any connectivity charges for access to the internet, B, charges for any equipment, electronic communications facilities used for or in association with connectivity to the internet, and C, all call charges for access to the internet. Subsection 3, where the electronic communication service licensee who provides internet service to the institutions and schools as contemplated in subsection 1 obtains its electronic communications facilities for the provision of internet services from an electronic communications network based licensee, the licensee is entitled to a minimum of 50% off the wholesale rate charged to it by the electronic communications network service licensee for the facilities in question, which discount shall be passed on to the schools and other institutions made in subsection 1. Continue to slide 32, still on section 73, subsection 4. The implementation of this section must be in the manner prescribed. The agency may pay the charge contemplated in subsection 1 on behalf of any school or other institution contemplated in subsection 1. In which event the agency is entitled to the discount mentioned in subsection 1. Moving on to section 79, capital D, in relation to the request for information by the minister. This section will be subject to the Promotion of Access to Information Act of 2000. Section 80 to 91 are sections in relation to USASA, Universal Service and Access. The proposed section 88.1F provides that the minister may prescribe. Prescribe is, however, defined to mean that ICASA can prescribe regulations. Therefore, Section 88.1F requires to be reworded to ensure that the minister can prescribe this regulation. And subsection, subparagraph, I beg your pardon. attached to the Broadcasting Act, so that it aligns that act with the effect of the changes proposed in the ECA. A new section is proposed to follow in clause 44 of the bill, and then it will then say amendment of the law. It reads as follows. The law referred to in the first column of the schedule is amended to the extent indicated in the first column. The schedule will contain a column that reads as follows. Common carrier has the meaning assigned to it in the Electronic Communications Act of 2005. Thank you, Chairperson. I'm not sure you see it.
Chairperson, the presentation is made is responding to the issues which are necessarily requiring further attention. In the bill, Chairperson, you would have noticed that there are issues which are not necessarily contested, and we deem them to have been understood with the guidance of the committee. Chairperson, there is just maybe a small comment to make in relation to the slide that referred to Section 60. That particular slide, this issue arose in the submissions, and this particular issue was not originally in the bill. We debated this issue to be a matter of broader policy consideration, and we simply proposed what could be the wording. The issue is actually regulated by ICASA, so there is a regulation on the issue already, which regulation seems not to be of satisfaction to parties who are now saying that the portfolio committee must consider this issue. And so, Chairperson, I'm bringing it to you because we did not make a disclaimer on that slide specifically. Another issue, Chairperson, that I just wanted to comment on is in relation to Section 32E. Chairperson, this is an issue wherein stakeholders felt that the minister's right to make policy and policy direction on any matter was giving too much powers. I just need to bring to the attention of the committee that in that section 3, the minister did in fact have powers to make policies on any matter. So, pursuant to the legislation, and what we are saying here, Chairperson, is that the original wording contained in section 3I, if I'm not mistaken, will then be retained. And then we would have combined the D and E in the original drafting of the bill. So the original wording in the legislation would still be applicable. Chairperson, we can give the floor back to you. Thank you. And Chairperson, on the e-rate issue, there are submissions which we have received and looked at here. The approach to the bill is such that the minister can give the Universal Service and Access Agency instructions to execute this issue. And similarly, the minister would consult with the Minister of Finance on the utilization of the funds. The new proposal that we are bringing to you, Chairperson, as I have said when we're responding to the submissions, there was a submission to include health facilities. And that submission was considered, Chairperson, that public health facilities can be included in the E-rate to benefit from this dispensation. The concerns, which also says that the E-rate system as it is currently is not working, we think that with these amendments, the system can be facilitated further to work in a streamlined manner, Chairperson. And this includes any other views which have been expressed on the issue, and I think we have considered all of them. So the proposal that we must do away with in Chairperson is not necessarily taken. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thanks very much, DDG. We hear you on the new section 6. I'm told that originally it was like that until the regulator decided to remove subject to commercial arrangement. And there was no policy review at that time. They just dealt the matter as normal regulation. Why should we subject the legislature to policy review to do the same matter, which has caused a crisis and financial drain to the public broadcaster? When the regulator just changed things willing when they want to, even if they've got huge impact and so on. But we hear you. We hear you very well on the issues which are members. That was the presentation on the ECA. If they look, mean hands going up.
Thank you, Chairperson. I just want to understand. I assume that sections of the bill that are not referred to in your presentation, do they remain as is in the bill?
Yes.
There's some contentious stuff that was in the bill that I'm surprised has gone in this here unchanged. Like the bit about controlling advertising, for example.
We are still going to come to the closes of the team as a committee. If Honorable Sheen, you got an issue around there, probably let's raise the issue and discuss it as a committee so that we move on that clause if we agree. DDG, you can respond on the matter. I remember during the public hearing it came out that issue, but it was also said that actually the current AFA does not deal with some of those issues as part of their self-regulation and so on. DDG?
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Just to refresh the whole issue of control over advertising, the department looked at the issue and the submissions particularly noted that it was appropriate for ICASA to have these powers over advertisements and scheduling, and that it would be duplicative, confusing, and resulting in delays. Because the very same issues are dealt with by the Advertising Standards Authority. There was also a view that this should never apply to pay TV, the proposal that is contained there in terms of Section 55. Now, the department of adverts and infomercials and program sponsorship should be regulated as the Advertising Standards Authority Code of Advertising Practice does not regulate it, while it is regulated by previous regulations issued in 1999. So some of the issues raised are matters of policy and regulatory nature, and were considered to have been deferred. I also indicated, Chairperson, that the Minister is inundated with public letters concerning the volume variation when they advertise, when the infomercials and adverts themselves are actually on air, an irritation which we need to know how to deal with. So, Chairperson, that issue is responded by the department as such. So,
No. We are taking us back. We don't want your responses. You did get your responses. We are dealing with the amendment now. That's why I was saying, Honorable Sheen, when we come to that section, can raise the matter. And we dealt with the if she needs amendment. But you have responded to submission. We don't go one road twice. So can we go to the first page of the presentation, members, and go through whether there are issues which we need to change and so on? As per the presentation by the department. I would ask you members that on the issue of the BEE, we were all okay. There's no issue there. The alignment of the legislation with the BEE one. I'm sure that the issues are starting on slide 3. We hope that as we discuss those who are making notes for the A list, they'll be able to move some of the issues there so that we finally have the A list. The A list which we have now, the confusion probably is because that's how it has been titled. It should be B17A 2013, not B17 2013 as it is now. 17A. Yeah. It's partly of what they have compiled. Remember, you raised the question that is the B list, the A list, and so on. So the issues which we'll be further dealing with are going to go there, adding to that list. Slide 3, we agree. Any comments there on slide 3? On the BE issue. On slide 4, you've got the amendment to section 1, section 1C, around the issue of broadband. I think the issue of prescribing the minimum speed and so on.
Thank you, Chair. I think that the technology evolves so rapidly that I think to put any number to a speed is creating a noose for us. And I think I've just briefly gone back to a definition. I think I'm not quite sure whose presentation this is. That it's ICASA's. They had what I thought was a fair definition of broadband, and that it doesn't talk, doesn't put any numbers on it, which I think might be worth considering. Because I think they say here, broadband is the wide bandwidth characteristics of a transmission medium and its ability to transport multiple signals and traffic types simultaneously to provide greater flexibility, application, or whatever. I think putting numbers on it.
Members, any different view around the issue of prescribing? Honorable, need what your hand? Your hand was up at one point, I forgot. Okay. Members, the suggestion even during the presentation was that others were against the issue of prescribing speed. You see that originally they were saying the minister from time to time can determine the speed through a government guideline or something like that. But we still needed the dissent definition of broadband. Can you work on that? At removing the speed. I'm sure members are agreeing that there should be no prescribed speed that can be left to the minister from time to time. So that we don't find ourselves amending and calling public hearing from 2 to 6 or whatever and so on. Which we can do anyway. thanks very much, members. Any comments around the issue of broadband? Thanks very much. I'm sure that's what the department was also proposing. Slide 5, amendment of section, the issue of the ICT charter, the designation there. Any issue members around there? Honorable Trochan, are you raising your hand or are you pointing? Oh, you are signaling. Okay. So we do agree, members, with the ICT charter definition? Okay. Slide 6. Section 1K. Any issue there you want to raise? I saw by show of hands. What have you done in KN? What have you done in KN? Or the definition? Or which combine the... Okay, Zara.
Thank you, Chairperson. With K, the definition of licensee was to be amended to reflect that the license for services is not the same as an authorization to use spectrum. It's to clear that, Chairperson, and by also referring to including the use to radio frequency spectrum in terms of Chapter 5. Just the clarity part. Thank you.
Members?
other policy which may be necessary for the application of this act or the related legislation. So by having worked on D and E to the reading that you have the Chairperson on slide 8, we will maintain the original wording which was giving Minister powers to pursue or to implement the legislation, which is I. Thank you, Chairperson.
Members?
For me, Chairperson, I think I would suggest that I am fine with that, because even the reasons that are given, everybody, if we have been listening to the hearing from last week, that anything to, with the word minister, everybody seems to be allergic to, whether it doesn't have legal logic or not. For me, I would move that we agree with us. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you. Anyone is noting the changes we are doing and the things we are putting aside for further discussion? Oh, okay. Oh, that's fine.
We have taken our advisors here, Chairperson.
I'm just checking. Sometimes we have too many people, but at the end, no one has done anything. Too many people, but at the end, nothing has happened. And everyone is pointing to the other one. Section
subject matter of there, and then the reading was going to continue, provide the minister with a copy of the proposed regulation. So this is the issue that we also debated previously, other than the days. Licensees who are over time having been given license conditions. And Chairperson, it follows that ICASA, in its ordinary experience and observation on the need for services out there, it may find it necessary to impose additional license conditions for the provision of services. And so we have considered the fact that there is a concern that prescribe is already presuming that ICASA will follow due process. And we're not suggesting that ICASA may not necessarily follow due process, but we think some of the conditions may be at the face of ICASA that they can be agreed with the licensees anyway in the discussions. Chairperson, the issue where we also have to highlight is subject to as opposed to taking into account, because the two processes of Chapter 10 and subjecting them to Chapter 10 as we propose here, when you go back to this wedding, you also need to realign our thinking and along that. So we would say that, guided by your decision, we'll have to relook into taking into account, because if you subject everything to Chapter 10 also, you also hamstrung some other processes as well. Thank you.
were jailed after it was discovered that the SIM cards used by the terrorists were not recorded or registered. So in other countries, we've got serious regulators. I don't know the ones who are to discuss them imposing, because you see, there are certain things the regulator must do, but not plead to do them, because it's in the interest of the country. So this regulator of ours, which has given soft language, and then behavior as such, it's a problem. We can't have a regulator which is sweethearted. Go to Nigeria, your quality of service is poor, you are switched off, or you are prevented from selling more SIM cards until you fix your quality or your infrastructure. So in our country, what type of so probably this legislation is the one which makes the regulator to be so flexible and nice and everything. So for me, unless this, but they will come and discuss it later. It's okay, let's proceed. 84. It's fine. 84. On slide 18. We're talking about 83. Now I'm on 84. We'll come back to 83. Yes, I did. Okay. Slide 14. There is an addition for the issue of honorable profit.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. I spoke to the State Law Advisor. She advised me that this committee need to make a decision. Addition that was made for access for people with disabilities, I still have some concerns. It's too broad. When I go to the UN Convention on the Rights of People with Disabilities, they do give a definition on communication on Article 2. States that communication includes language, display of text, braille, so that definition is very clear. So I'm asking for this committee to look at the definition of communication, and the state law advisors to advise us on how to make this amendment appropriate. So that looking at Article 9 on accessibility, there's a lot of definitions and articles that we need to consider.
this was the section where I was interested to know what the discussion was about let and sublet, seeing there's a lot of, you know, in the presentations about it. I presume that that ruling is staying. I'd like just some discussion on it. Thank you. Can we flag that?
Section 13. List 4, my servant.
Thank you for the opportunity. I ask you a question and you deliberately ignore my question because we can't continue this way.
We are deliberately.
No, may I continue?
Okay.
So that you can get what I'm saying to you.
Mm.
Thank you. It says that you need to give us guidance. We are not in public hearing, Chair. Now we are dealing with amendments as a committee. So I wish all what we have flagged, we are not going to be tempted to engage on issues that we should have engaged in public hearing. Thank you, Chair, because we must take the decision and move forward in the day. Thank you.
No, thank you. We are doing both. Honorable Seven.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. And I don't have any problem on what the Honorable Chair is saying, because if she wants a discussion with me, but earlier on, I relied on my VPA, because sometimes I'm this person, I'm principled. I respect protocol. I don't just do things on my own. So I think as an ANC, I'm led by the Utant. I wrote his book. But you know, now I'm confused in terms of the process and the approach moving forward. Merging the last week discussion and the today's week discussion. I can assure you, Chair, all that the DDG has been explaining, he did that in Sultan. And we expect him to do that here again, Honorable Chair. We said in Sultan, as this portfolio committee, we had an opportunity of listening to all stakeholders. At the end of the day, it was on Friday, we said, DOC, come to the picture, respond to all these issues. And as members were raising questions, also interacting with different stakeholders, it was dealt with. We then said, now we are done and we are satisfied. You, DOC, you must go back and identify all those issues that from today we are saying we can't get a common ground on it. And if you go through this presentation, those issues are highlighted in red. To my understanding, those were the issues that we're supposed to deal with. In terms of other proposals by the GOC, like the ones that Honorable Mutembe is saying, what do you think of Honorable Mutembe? That we must leave the original wording. Those are some of the issues that we are, I'm going to still going to repeat that we agree with you, GOC, on that one, we don't agree with you on that one. But obviously, there will be those comments that were not catered for, like the issue as raised by Honorable Velma, or the issues of the disabilities. She was even vocal around this issue there, and it's not even covered here. I think she was, it was still within her right to do so. And I'm not saying we must close discussions so other members cannot discuss. But other things, let's just part and go back. But not share. That's why I was saying to Honorable Velma that sometimes, you know, it's important when you start a meeting, you have an approach, so that you don't deal with one thing, because I'm telling you, the DDG or whoever will still have, there will be no change. It will be still the same response that you got in something on our chain. So that's not how we resolve this matter in something. So that's why, Nasha, I don't have any problem, but I just want you to say to us that this PCC today and the one in something, how do we match them to avoid this thing, which is like we have never met before, we're meeting for the first time today, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you. We're deliberating in something. We're asking, seeking clarifying questions from the presentation and the response of the department. We're deliberating and isolating issues. That's where we are. See, I'm explaining the process of that one. Yes, we are deliberating. That's what the notice is saying. When you do that, you agree on certain issues as a committee, you put aside those you don't need further discussion. In something we've received public submission, the department responded, we then asked clarity. We have not formally deliberated. not sure what Honorable Shin is talking about on 19. What is 19 I talk about?
The whole amendment in the bill is where there's talk about leasing and subletting. And those aren't the changes that are here. It was what I wanted the discussion about. So if we could flag that for discussion.
You see, 19 is section 13A, 13, the new subsection 6. Which one are you talking about?
I think we need more clarity from you.
Thank you. Additional actions
by the council in relation to the minutes of the meeting. And it reads, the minutes contemplated in subsection 2 must be signed, confirmed, and published on the authority's website and made available in its library within 30 days of the conclusion of the meeting. But any information determined to be confidential in terms of section 4, capital B, must be removed prior to such publication. Subsection 4, any decision regarding a licensing or regulatory matter by the council must be published and made available on the authority's website and its library. Slide 9. Relates to section 12 that addresses the fine that could be applied to a councillor. The respondents, such as Vodacom and MTN, were of the view that the increases in fines are significant, the levels were too high and should be reduced substantially. And the department was opposed to that and said that the fines to date have been too small and did not constitute sufficient deterrent to the licensee. The department has used the competition authority's model and the RICA model. So now to the honourable members, the fine was 250,000. The department proposed, this is now in relation to a councillor, the fine was 250,000. The department proposed it to be increased to 1 million. Should it then be reduced to 500,000? Slide 10. Section 12 continues. Section 4 of that section. If the Honourable Committee considers that it should be reduced, the amendment could read as follows. A councillor is guilty of an offence and liable on conviction to a fine not exceeding 250,000. I beg your pardon. A councillor is guilty of an offence and liable on conviction to a fine not exceeding 500,000 or to imprisonment for a period not exceeding 3 years or to both such fine and imprisonment. If he or she, and then the rest of the section will then follow them. Section 17 capital A is an additional amendment which came up during the presentations as an additional question. During the first public consultation, it was felt that this should definitely be an ICASA appointment. The question that arises then is whether the minister should appoint the CCC in consultation with the National Assembly or whether this power should remain with ICASA. If the amendment is approved by the CCC, it would then read as follows. Instead of the authority, it will then say the minister must establish a complaints and compliance committee which consists of not more than 7 members, appointed for a 3-year term of office which is renewable for 1 additional term only, one of whom must be a councillor. Section 17, capital C, seeks to clarify that ICASA can investigate a complaint and also that a 30-day period is permitted for reference and not for investigation. It then reads, a person who has reason to believe that another person is guilty of any non-compliance with the terms and conditions of a license or with this act or the underlying statute may lodge complaint with the authority within 60 days of becoming aware of the alleged non-compliance. Paragraph B, it says that the authority may, where the complaint concerns the licensee, the
date of receipt of the complaint to the Complaints and Compliance Committee for consideration. A paragraph Roman to the 2, where the complaint concerns a person who is not a licensee. Lay a charge against that person with the appropriate authority or institution, or refer the matter to the appropriate authority or institution in terms of the concurrent jurisdiction agreement concluded between the authority and that authority or institution within 30 days of receipt of the complainant, or investigate the complaint as contemplated in Section 4, Subsection 3 and
don't give us problem when we deal with the amendment of the other legislation. In such a way, when you deal with that legislation, you then don't say the first law to amend is this one, which you have just amended because you are dealing with the new one. Honorable Tsebo was saying, is it already taking care of that? That was the response we're waiting from yourself.
Honorable Chairperson, yes, it is. This particular definition is a guidance of the OECD, which is a body of largely member states and who are already in this advanced market of e-commerce. So it is aligned, Chairperson.
Members? Shin Seven?
Chair, I just want to know that because my concern is that we're going to fiddle with the Electronic Transactions Act next year when it comes before this committee. That we're not, as you know, as the chair said, not going to be changing it back again. So I think that we need to make sure that this one is right, so that we don't have to fiddle next time.
Davis.
Thank you very much. If I hear DOC correctly, they are saying it's right, it's aligned. So there's no need to pass, Chair. Thank you.
Okay, slide 5.
Gracias. get an understanding of why this is not changed?
The clarification here is that a complaint which requires investigation may not only come from a licensee. It can come from any member of the public, which complaint must then be investigated. So that's the clarification that we are seeking.
Just a two thing on that one, Chair. The way I read this, it's not about the person making the complaint. It's about who the complaint is being made against. So yes, I agree any person can make a complaint, but they can only lay a complaint against a licensee.
Really, this definitely depends on who we have the function of the
into in the light of the issues raised. Slide 13.